God is good, good, good. Amen. All the time, Michael. You're so right on, brother. Hey, I kind of feel like an evangelist today. So got my tapes, you know, and so, and I usually don't, you know, probably, I don't know, I may not be, how can I say this? I've never been a promoter of myself. I've always, and maybe that's a detriment, I don't know, because I know a lot of pastors and ministers and teachers promote themselves, but I'd rather promote Jesus, really. That's just my heart. Really rather promote him than myself, but these came through the Lord. So I had a lady come to me yesterday, and she's a Bible college student, a real sweet lady, known the Lord for a long time. She came up to me, I was sitting back here, and she whispered in my ear, and she saw some tapes over there, and she had one, and she whispered in my ear, and she said, I have an orphan's heart. I said, why? What? You know, and she said, I have an orphan's heart. And she said, I saw your tape here, and I really desire to be healed there. And I said, awesome. I said, that's just one. I've got a series. She said, you do? I said, yeah, I'm still teaching it, and I haven't been able to stop teaching it. I said, the Lord hadn't let me go on this. And so she went over and picked up all of these. And, you know, she said, how much are they? I said, well, they're free if you can't afford it. Just don't believe in charging people for the word, you know. So, but I said, if you'd like to give $5, you know, $5 a piece. So it just helps us cover costs and all that stuff. And she ran over and grabbed all of them. And I just want to tell you, they're back there. It's Overcoming Temptation as a Son. Ishmael, Orphan. Isaac, Son. Wow, good one. Healing an Orphan's Heart. Restoring an Orphan's Heart. And Sonship or an Orphan's Heart. So here go. They're all over there, and you're going to have another one today. So, but God is faithful. God is good to us. Amen. And God wants to heal your heart. He wants you to be a whole person in Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to be a half person. Amen. But whole. And I want you to stand this morning, if you would, and turn over to Proverbs 4:23. It's kind of been our foundational scripture. And I have to do a little bit of setting on this, a little bit of setting up for this teaching. So those of you that are here on a regular basis, I know that you heard this. It's become redundant, but thank God you're maturing in our mature believers. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, you can handle that a little bit, because we need to set this up and have people understand what we're talking about and the premise of this, because so many people in the world have an orphan's heart and don't even realize it. And on Father's Day, God doesn't want you to be an orphan. He wants you to be a son and daughter, fully in the family of God. Amen. That's who you are in Jesus Christ. That's your identity. That's who God has you to be. Amen. He wants you to understand that. He doesn't want you walking around. Even a believer like this young lady, actually she was a little older, but I called her young, said, I'm a believer, but I have an orphan's heart. You can be a believer and still have an orphan spirit or mentality. And God wants that healed and whole. Amen. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with what? All diligence, for out of it spring what? The issues of life. Let's hold up our Bible. We believe in doing this here. Come on, hold up your Bible. Say it with Pastor. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. Do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my what? My heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. Turn around somebody and say, you might not be a dad, but happy Father's Day. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Wow, you know, I was going, again, today, you know, as I was dwelling on this week and just allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart, and I was going to teach about relationships, because relationships are such a huge thing that people deal with. And God really wants you to have a solid relationship. And if you have an orphan spirit, orphan heart, it's very hard for orphans to have a good relationship. In fact, they don't know how to have a relationship, because they've never really had a relationship. And so it's very hard for them to have that, but the Lord really directed me a different way, and it's a huge area towards people, and we're going to speak about the orphan's heart and relationships, okay? But what I want to talk to you today is about provision of the Father's love. Provision of the Father's love. One thing about a role of a father is to be a provider to his family. You know, if you're a dad today, if you're a father today, God has put in us the role of leadership, amen, in that family. And God desires, as he provides for us as our example, that we are to provide for our family. God desires and designed us as men to put our hand to things, and those things are to prosper. Amen? God desires you as a father to set an example, as Andrew said. You know, God, you know, my dad taught me work ethic. Amen. God desires you as a man to be that provider. God is our provider. Amen? Amen. So God wants us to provide for our children as well, to see that they are secure and they are taken care of. They are secure. Everybody say secure. Secure and taken care of. An orphan does not know that or have that in their heart. So many orphans are unsecure of their life. They don't know what's going on in life. They're unsecure in their life. They don't have that settled down ability in their heart, in their mind. They've always drifted here and there. They've always had to fend for themselves. Amen. But God desires you to be secure today in who you are and in the love of Jesus Christ and his grace. Amen. To know that you're taken care of. Amen. Hallelujah. So I know many fathers have faced hard times and gone through things, but a good father will do without to make sure his family is taken care of. Can I get amen? Amen. Man, I've all... That's why I don't have that new Corvette sitting in my driveway, Kay. Amen. Hallelujah. No, I'm just teasing. Praise God. What a joy it is to take care of your kids. You know, a father finds joy in taking care of his kids, his family. Amen. It is a joy, guys. It's not a drudgery. It is a joy to take care of our family. What a delight it is to bless our family, to give them things, to provide for them. You know, Lisa's wedding was coming up, and we were so excited, and Kay's wedding, and, you know, we were so blessed to just do what we did, amen, and had the ability to do it. Thank you, Jesus, amen. What a blessing it is to give. I'd rather be a giver. How about you? That's the heart of a father, amen. So we've been teaching on an orphan's heart how to receive healing in our hearts. And the Bible says here in Proverbs that, you know, it's so very important. He said, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Now, we understand, and I have to go back to this to preface this, because we always have new people in the church coming in, and thank you for being here. But you've got to understand that you're more than just soul and body. You've got to understand that you are spirit. That is your real you. And when you receive Christ, you're born again, you become a believer, amen, that spirit becomes perfect in Christ. One-third of you is perfect. Isn't that awesome? One-third of you is perfect. Turn to somebody and say, hey. Wow, one-third of you. It's perfect, and it's sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Praise God. One-third of you. This is where so many Christians don't understand and struggle, because, you know, they get born again, they look in the mirror, and nothing's changed. The change took place in your spirit. All things are new. Old things have passed away. It wasn't in your flesh, and it wasn't in your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions and personality, but the change took place in your spirit. And now your spirit is as righteous as Jesus is. As he is, so are you in this present world. How is he? He's righteous. Amen. So in your spirit, you're righteous. In your soul, you're still having to transform, because your soul isn't perfect like your spirit is. Your soul can still do stupid things. Come on, somebody. Amen. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, you get caught up in stuff that you shouldn't get caught up in. You react like you shouldn't react in. You know, All these things take place in your soul, but your spirit is perfect. And the more you know that you're the righteousness in Jesus Christ, the more it will reflect in your soul. The outcome will be transformation, and it won't be a hard thing. It'll be an easy thing because, listen, his yoke is easy. Praise God, his burden is light. Amen. Serving the Lord is not a hard, difficult task. You're no longer an orphan trying to please your daddy all the time. I want to tell you, your daddy's already pleased with you, amen, because of Jesus and not because of anything you do or have done. Hallelujah, amen. Turn to somebody and say, my dad is so in love with me. Man, I am his favorite child. Woo! Amen. He lavishes me with his love. Turn to somebody and say, you know how it is with siblings. Dad loves me more than you. Come on, you have any brothers and sisters? Anybody got any brothers and sisters? Come on. You know, dad really loves me more. You know, they get behind and talk behind your back. Dad really loves me more than you. No, he doesn't. No, I'm the favorite. No, you're not. I'm the baby. Doesn't matter. I'm the firstborn. Hey, I got you both beat. I'm the middleborn. He loves me more. Come on, anybody ever do that? You guys, I know what goes on out there. Now, I don't know if my kids ever done it because we really tried to, maybe they have. Yeah, I think Elise has. You know, Elise is kind of like that, you know. Hey, dad loves me more than all you. I'm the baby, you know. So, amen. No, really, honestly, I can honestly say I love all my children the same. How do you do that? It's God's love. I mean, they're all unique. They're all different. And it's just like God. You're all unique. You're all different. But you're his favorite. Now, you won't hear that at a lot of churches. They'll preach you down and tear you apart and put condemnation on your life and tell you how bad you are and how sinful you are and how you need to get right and all that stuff. You know what? People don't have to be told they're sinners. They already know they're sinners. They already know they're doing bad. They already know they're not pleasing to the Father. They already know these things. And a lot of people, you know, they're turned off and they don't come to church because that's what they expect to hear. They don't expect to hear a message of God's grace and love and that God loves you while you're yet sinners. Whoa! And what we do is we extend enough grace towards people. You know, we're all about saving grace. Give me that saving grace. Pile it on me, God, because I really need it. But after that, law. We're all about the law after that. You know, God not only gave you grace to be saved, but he gave you grace to carry on. That's why Paul said, even in my weakness, I become strong. He said, in fact, I'd rather boast in my infirmities that the grace of God may be upon me. Hallelujah. I'm talking about grace. Guys, we need to extend the grace not only at salvation and the abundance that we receive, but that abundance continues on after salvation, after we believe. It's an abundance of grace. That's why he said, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So when you blow it, don't think that you're rejected, that you're put down. God still loves you as a son, as a daughter. He still sees you as a son and a daughter because sin can never triumph God's grace. Woo! I am to my sermon yet this morning, guys. It's just a warm-up. God's grace, that's why they call it amazing. That's why they call it amazing. When he can take an infidel and turn him around, that's amazing grace. Hallelujah. Wow. Turn to somebody and say, I'm glad I'm a son. How about you? In fact, I'm glad I'm a favorite son. Praise God. Amen. Wow. One born by faith and promise. We talked about Ishmael and Isaac last week. Remember that? One's born by faith and promise, the other is by flesh, right? One's born by faith, by promise, the other is born by flesh, representing effort. As believers, we are born out of faith in Jesus' promise, not out of flesh and not out of struggle. The one sent out as a vagabond, Ishmael, and a man of rebellion, always warring and trying to find peace, but never able to attain it. Look at Genesis 16. Let's go back and refresh just a moment. Genesis 16, 11 through 12. This describes Ishmael, the one born out of the flesh. Do you know the war is still raging today because of this child born out of the flesh and not out of the spirit? There's still war. There's still terrorism today because of this action. Amen. Guys, we are people of the spirit, not people of the flesh. Hello. We are not warring, amen, as others wars. We are victorious in Jesus Christ. Praise God. We are not walking in the flesh today. I think better of you. You're walking in the spirit because you know who you are and you know who your daddy is. Right? Praise God. Listen to this. And the angel of the Lord said to her, Hagar, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You should call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. God still hears the affliction. Even though they are separated, God still hears the affliction. God is always open to receiving. No matter if you're an orphan today, no matter where you are, God is always open to receiving you. Can you hear my heart? Can you hear his heart? He shall be a wild man, rebellious man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Wow, he's a wild man. A wild man. Man, that's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. He's a wild man. This battle's still going on. An orphan is unassured, does not know the Father's love, the Father's protection, the security, and the provision of the Father. Therefore, many believers fall into the same category. They don't understand God's full, unconditional love for them and his grace provision for them. Their life is based on performance. They're always trying to please God. You had dads that you never could please. Some of you told me during this series, you know what? You're speaking to me. I had a dad. I tried to do everything right, and I never could please my dad. God's pleased with you already. That's the good news about the God we serve. Amen? So their life is based on performance and trying to please God and still knowing that God is pleased with them already because of Jesus. They're always trying to get God to do something for them. That's what an orphan does. Always begging God to do something for them. Daddy, do something for me. Daddy, are you pleased with me? Daddy, have I been good enough today? And God says, you are my beloved son, and who I am, well pleased. Amen. You got to get that in your spirit. It's got to be a revelation to you of how much God loves you. So they're always trying to get God to do something for them instead of just receiving from God of what he's already done. Ishmael and Isaac is a picture of the Old Testament and New Testament covenant. A majority of believers live in the Old Testament covenant. They have not come into the new. They're living in the Old Testament. They're living with an orphan mentality. They're living under everything that God has given them already through the promise of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they sit under a mixture of teaching of law and grace. God doesn't want you sitting there. Amen? You can't mix hot and cold, buddy. Amen. Don't do it. Amen. God doesn't want you sitting there. He wants you sitting in a place where the grace of God's message and the love of God's message is flowing into your heart. So many have accepted the majority of Jesus' teaching out of the gospel as gospel. You got to listen to this. You got to be really careful here, Pastor. What are you talking about? What are you saying? When much of his teaching was pointed to Israel in order for them to come to the end of themselves and their self-righteousness and their self-performance. Much of Jesus' teaching was being taught to Israel so they would come to the end of the law, realizing they could never live up to it or match to it. But we've taken much of Jesus' teaching and we brought it over here into this arena of the New Testament covenant, and we say, wow, that's it. No, most of the teaching, that's why Jesus said when a man looks at a woman, he's committed adultery, because they're saying, oh, hey, man, we've kept the law, we haven't committed adultery. Jesus took it further and said, hey, if a man looks at a woman to lust after her, he's already committed adultery where? In his heart. Why did he say that? Why did he do that? He did that to bring them to the end of themselves and say, look, this law is not going to hold up. the thing of the law, it's the ministry of death, the Bible says. Law is the ministry of death. Jesus is the ministry of life. Amen. And so he taught them the law and put it back upon them because that's what they are all about. Hey, we have kept the law. It was all about them self-effort and looking at themselves instead of Jesus. And when we go through the New Testament, we have to go through it very carefully and understand that all of those things, a lot of the, and the majority of that teaching was pointed to Israel to get them to come out of the law and receive the Messiah who was full of grace and love and who kept the law perfectly. Amen and amen. But boy, the majority of churches teach that, and people just get under that condemnation. They get under that work ethic. They're really trying to do God and please God. And oh, God, help me. Work, 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 work. Like the Energizer Bunny. I love that little guy. You like that guy? Every time he comes on, I smile. There's something about that commercial. You know, he's just, and I think, isn't that cool? That's the cutest little bunny. Man. Y'all didn't get that, but I like that. Maybe that's just me, you know. So that's my soft side. Hallelujah. Wow. So the majority of teaching, so much of the teaching, not all, but so much of the teaching of Jesus was to get Israel to come out from under the law of self-righteousness and depend upon him as Lord and Savior, God's only Son. Galatians 4:1-9. Let's look through this just a moment if we have time this morning because I want to take you somewhere. Wow, Galatians 4:9. Look at this a moment. Where am I at? I'm sorry. 4:1-9. There you go, brother. Thank you, Aaron. You're amazing, son. He's my son in the faith over there, Doug. I just want to let you. Where's Doug at this morning? He's my son in the faith. Amen. I love that guy. Y'all did really good raising your kids. So I love you, Doug. You're an awesome, awesome guy. Thank you. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from what? A slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born where? Under the law. Now, listen. To redeem those who were under sin. Oh, let me say that again. To redeem those who were under sin. To redeem those who were under the law performance mentality that we might receive what? The adoption of sons. No longer a slave, no longer an orphan, but an adoption of full sonship into the Father's home and family. Amen. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit. And I love what Romans 8 says, that the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of what? God. Hallelujah. The Spirit is so wonderful, of his Son into your hearts, crying what? Daddy! Daddy! Another man, the girls always knew how to get to me. They never came up to me when they wanted something. They never come up and said, oh, Father. Father, you're so kind most of the time. No, when they were small, even today, some things never change. Some things never change. There is a magic word. It just works something in a guy's heart, man, and in a father's heart. It's daddy. And when you say daddy, when they say, it's just like, what you want? What's up? What you need, baby? What's going on? You know, wow. It's exactly with God. We work it so hard when the work's been done. And he's wanting us to crawl in his lap and just say, hey, daddy. Hey, daddy. What's going on, daddy? He loves you, and you just don't understand the full comprehension of that love. Look at this. Crying out, Abba, therefore you are no longer a slave. No longer a slave. Turn to somebody and say, get out of that slave mentality. God didn't want you there. God didn't want you in that area. God has designed you to be a beautiful son and daughter of God. Amen. A slave mentality is always trying to please the master. Amen. He's not a taskmaster. He is a loving father. He is Daddy Abba in your life today. You don't need to no longer think that I have to have this pleasing mentality, if I don't do this. No, that's a law-based mentality. Get out of that. Get over to sonship. Sit up in his lap and say, hey, Daddy, it's all good. I want to show you something in a second. I am so excited to get to this verse. I just keep holding it back, but I got to walk down here a little bit more, all right? Hang in with me this morning. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but what? And if a son, guess what you are? An heir of God, of all the promises. All the promises. All right? But then, indeed, when you do not know God, you serve those which by nature are not God's. But now, after you have known God, or rather, you know, everybody's, I want to know God. I want to know God. Oh, let me... You know, it's not about knowing God. It's about, does God know you? Known of God. You are known of God. Amen. Rather, are known by God. How is it that you turn again to weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Talking about the law returning to works. As a son, we've already received the inheritance. Because in order to receive an inheritance, someone has to die. Jesus died that we might receive the full inheritance as a son and daughter. It's no longer about performance that makes God move. He has already moved and given us a son and daughter of everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1. Right? 2 Peter 1. Just go there a second. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 3. You guys know this. You're familiar. If you're a Charis student, you know this. Simon, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have adopted like precious faith with us, the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and what? Grace. Man, I love that. Favor. Unattained, unmerited favor and shalom. Nothing lacking, nothing broken, be what? Multiply to you in the knowledge. You got to have a revelation knowledge of this. You got to open up your heart and say, God, give me a revelation knowledge of your grace, of your unconditional love, of your mercy extended towards me. Amen. You've got to have a revelation of this. It doesn't come by flesh and blood. It comes by the Spirit of God in your heart. Because many of you have been caught up in religion and religious activity, and religion said to do this, and religion said to do that, and you're wearing yourself out. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, as his divine power has given to us a few things, a little things, one or two things, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the what? The revelation, the knowledge, the word, amen, the word coming alive in your spirit, and you have the revelation that I'm out of religion now, I'm in a relationship with my heavenly Father who I know is Daddy. Amen. Through the knowledge of him who's called us by his glory and virtue. What did Andrew say yesterday? I love this, and it's so true. Andrew says, it's not the truth that sets you free. It's the truth you know that what? And that's what Jesus said. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Many people don't know they're the healed of the Lord already. They don't know that it's already theirs. They don't know that it's already there. They're striving and trying to get healed. No, we're not striving and trying. We are healed. By his stripes it says we are healed. Not we're trying to get healed. We are healed. In fact, we are the healed maintaining our healing through Jesus Christ. We're the healed resisting sickness. When a pain comes to us, we resist it as a son and daughter because we know something. What do we know? We know we are the healed of the Lord. I said 40 more years. I meant 60. My calculation was wrong. I want to get that right out of my mouth. I've only just begun to live. White lace and promises. A kiss for, well, anyway. Are y'all still with me this morning? You gotta have to forgive me. I just break into those songs every once in a while, man. It's just, you know, that's all right. It's our grace. An orphan always has his hand out. Listen to me. I know it's Father's Day. I'm going to close in a second, but this is so important. An orphan mentality always has his hand out begging. Please, God. Please, God. Oh, God, please, God. A son is always at rest receiving. Orphans are trying to get something that God has already given them. A son already has provision in the house. Oh, my gosh, you didn't hear what I said. Yes, you did. I believe you did. I changed my confession on that. A son knows he already has it in the house. Many people don't know they're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so they're trying in their own efforts to be righteous only to please God and get something from him when God's already given them the righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ. I want to look at a beautiful illustration of this morning. Turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and let's start with verse 1. We're going to just kind of drop down through, and this is my last stuff here, guys, this morning, but I want you to receive this because God gave me some revelation on this, and I am so thankful. Every revelation you receive, thank God. Don't forget to stop to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're so good to reveal that. And when I was looking at this, I had to tell Holly, I said, wow, what revelation. What out of this scripture? Because this scripture right here has been taught as a New Testament concept. And people have preached it. Ah, you got to do this in order to get God to move. Hallelujah. You got to really do this. Because it's in the Word, and it's read, and Jesus said it. It's in the Word, and it's read, and Jesus said it. But you got to understand what he was saying, who he was saying it to, and how he was saying it. And you got to have a revelation on it, because what happens, a lot of people, and good people, everybody say good people, including me. Boy, I could preach the law. Woo, I could get them feeling bad. Line up, boy. I could get them feeling so bad. I'd scream and holler. You should hear some of my early tapes. Maybe you shouldn't hear some of my early tapes. I was a wild Pentecostal preacher. Like, stir them up, boy. Stir up that emotion. Woo! Get them feeling something. And you had to do that every Sunday. Talk about exhausting and at work. Gosh. What? Hard on your throat, yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay, you got to be with me here. Y'all still with me? Come on, everybody tuned in? I want you to be tuned in right here because I want you to see some things out of this scripture about a son and a daughter, being a son and daughter, or being just a friend of God. There's a difference. We sing that song, I am a friend of God. Watch this. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Teach us, Lord, right? So here Jesus goes. He said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be there. And I love that little story, Holly. I won't have time this morning. Be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in what? How many know his will has already been done on earth as it is in heaven? How many know that? His will has already been done. His will is completed here on earth. His will is Jesus. Jesus came, died, resurrected. That's done. This is an Old Testament prayer that he was teaching his disciples as an illustration. It is not a New Covenant prayer, but there was a book came out several years ago by the name of Larry Lee, and he said, could you not tarry 1 hour? And boy, I did. In fact, I tarried more than 1 hour. I tarried 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all-night prayer meetings. We're going to move, God. We're going to move, God. God's going to move. Y'all still with me? Give us this day our daily bread. These are good things to say. Nothing wrong with this. Hello? It's okay. We learn from this. We understand. But we understand that he's already given us our daily bread. Every man shall what? Live, not live by bread alone, but what? By what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He's already given it. Already done. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Already done. You see how we get caught up in this stuff and we think, woo, that's woo. I've been there. Good people, wonderful people. You know, all over the states today. Some pastor's teaching on this day somewhere. I guarantee you. And he's teaching it out of the Old Testament concept instead of out of the new. All right? And forgive us our sins. Completed. Done. Done. Every sin's already been completed. You just haven't understood the knowledge of that and haven't received the whole completion, because one drop of blood was enough to forgive all the sins of the world. It's already done, already completed. Do people still sin? Yes, people still sin, and there's consequences for sin here on this earth. You can be stupid if you want to be. Turn to somebody and say, don't be stupid, stupid. No. No. Amen. There's consequences for sin. Amen, there are. But your spirit's been perfected forever. Ever. You sin with your soul, with your flesh, and there are consequences. You go out there and do 65 today in a 35 zone, there's going to be consequences for that. You go out and do things, you commit adultery, you do fornication, you do things, there's consequences. There's things that you'll have to face. You get angry and slap somebody and he's got a gun, there's consequences for that. God loves you even when you're stupid. Aren't you glad? Turn to somebody and say, aren't you glad? And aren't you glad God's already forgiven you, so you don't have to walk around with condemnation on your life? That's the biggest tool of the enemy, is to condemn you, to get you to the place, because when you're condemned, you can't receive from God. As a child, you're not condemned. As a son, you're not condemned. You're loved this morning. God loves you. Even in your stupidity, God loves you. You rise up above that. You walk. You do more when you understand you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus accidentally than you do trying. You do more good accidentally than you do trying. Are you still with me? Can you guys give me just a few more minutes? And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us. How many know God's already delivered us? The enemy only has the power that you give him. Because Jesus said all authority's been given to you. If you got all authority, how much does that leave with him? So you got the authority to activate the enemy. How do you activate the enemy? With your mouth? All right, come on, hang on with me. And he said to them, which of you shall have a, what? You know who this picture of the friend is? The friend is a picture of Israel. Look at Isaiah 41:8 real quick, and we're going to go back here. Just give me a few more minutes, because I want you to see this. Isaiah 41:8. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, one whom I've chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my... So who's the friend? Israel. The friend is standing outside the door at midnight knocking. We have used this scripture to beat up people about prayer. You got to pray, and you got to pray. God wants you to pray, but you pray prayers of authority. Hello? It's a prayer of authority, because you have authority as a son and daughter now, as a child of a king. Jesus prayed prayers of authority. When Jesus prayed, they were always short, they were not long, and he would say, Lazarus, come forth. That was a prayer of authority. Stretch forth your arm. Boom, it was healed. I say to you, little girl, arise. Boom, she got up. Prayers of authority. We have taken Old Testament covenant thought mentality into the New Testament as a son and daughter that shouldn't be there. God says, hey, I've given you authority to raise the dead. I've given you authority not to pray for the sick, but to heal the sick. There's a difference between praying for sick and healing the sick. God gave you the authority to release healing in people's lives. You have that authority as a son and daughter to release healing in people's lives. Amen. It's not about just praying. It's about releasing the power that you have within and knowing whose you are. And when you know who you are and you know what you got, amen, you release the power over them. You raise them up, amen, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, give him some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. We live like orphans when God says, I want you to be a child. I want you to think and have a child's mentality, a son, a daughter's mentality. I've given you an inheritance. You've got it. I've already died. It's in you. Amen. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in you. Back over to our scripture in Luke. All right. Wow. Which of you should have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. This is Israel knocking at the door at midnight. You know, they're still in darkness. They haven't seen. They don't know. They're still trying to keep up with the law. There's a temple right over here in Carmel. I know the guy. I know the rabbi there. Still trying to preach that law, buddy. Hello? Standing outside, knocking at the door. Jesus said, I am the door. If any man opens to me, come in and sup with me. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you came in? Aren't you glad you're in the Father's house? In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. Amen. We think that is a mansion in heaven. No, that's here on earth, in him, in Christ. He said there are many dwelling places. You're one of those. God is dwelling in you today. Amen. You are the temple of God, the house of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, man, God is living in me. Do not trouble me. The door is now shut. Wow. And my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give to you. Are you a friend or are you a child? The children are in bed. The children are in bed. The children are at rest in the Father's house. The children are resting in the Father's. The children have no need of bread because the Father has bread in the house. Amen. And God is using this as an example to say how much I want to give to you that understand your sonship and daughtership. It's not about knocking and begging and pleading. It's about being in the house, being at rest, knowing who I am as your daddy, your provider. Everything I've supplied for you is in the house. Woo! I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though, he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence. And this is where we get this wrong. We rise and give him as many as he needs. If you just keep knocking, and then he goes and says, hey, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. What God's trying to tell us is how easy I want to give to you. How easy it is. I'm not withholding from you. I want to give it to you. I have already given it to you. Go on down. Who opened? Go on down. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Come on, what's the answer? He's trying to tell you how much he desires to give you your heart's desire. And when your heart's desire is a son and a daughter, and knowing your position in that place, it easily flows to you. All right, y'all still with me? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent instead of a fish. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, here's the whole premise. How much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He said, the dwelling is in the house. I'm in the house. You're in my house. You have my Spirit within you. How much more? Only thing you've got to do is just start thanking him for what you already got. Thank you. Don't be an ungrateful child. That's an orphan spirit. Don't be an ungrateful child. Be thankful for what you got. Right? Wow. So let me ask this question. Are you the friend on the outside, or are you the son on the inside? Hello? The friend must persist to receive. The child simply has to ask. Hello? There's a certain number of times, you know, a lot of people say, there's so many times you have to pray in order for your prayer to be answered. So let me ask you another question. How many times do you think you must pray in order to be heard? People pray for the same thing over and over again because they think God doesn't hear them. God heard you the first time you opened your mouth because you're a son and you're a daughter. Amen? Walk in your faith. Say, thank you, Jesus. I receive from what I've received. Amen? Because I'm a son and daughter. Kay was a little girl about 2 and 3 years old. You guys, I love this Father's Day story. You're going to have to hear it again. You've heard it 5 times, 10 times. If you've been here for, you probably heard it every year, Father's Day or more. But we were pastoring in Maine, and Holly and I are sitting on the doorstep out there on the porch, and there's a little playground over by the church and a swing, and she's about 2 or 3 years old, not very old at all, and just as cute as she is today, and just, you know, man, you know, had dad's heart, hallelujah. God is so awesome and good. Wow. You know, and we're sitting out there, and the sun was shining in Maine. That's a strange thing to see in the sky. Maine only has 2 seasons, 4th of July and winter. That's it. It's 4th of July. So we were sitting out there, Holly and I, and I looked up, and there's this little baby running as fast as she can, her little curls and flopping, and she's crying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Well, that got my attention right away. I thought, what is going on? Daddy, Daddy, sneak, sneak. Now, if you know me, I don't like snakes, and I had the interpretation it was a snake. And I thought, snake in Maine is too cold for snakes. There is no snakes in Maine, you know. No, she was persistent. Daddy, sneak, 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 you know. Well, what did Daddy do? Daddy sat there. Go on, baby. You know, there's no snakes in Maine. Go on, baby. No, what did I do? As soon as I heard her say Daddy, my attention was right there. As soon as you say Abba, Father, his attention's right there. He loves you that much. When you start understanding your son and daughter relationship with God, God loves you that much. And when you just say, Daddy, oh, hey. And then you say, Jesus, he goes, whoa, what's up? He's right here. He's right in us. And you know what I did? I got off of my rest. And I went over to investigate, see what was going on. I took her by the hand, you know, went over there. So we were looking around, you know, by the swing set where she was swinging. And I saw a piece of rope, and I thought, that's it. Rope laying right down there. I said, hey, baby, is that it? No, Daddy, that's not it. I thought, oh, Jesus. I said, well, what did it look like? She said, Daddy, it was brown and yellow. And I said, ooh, wow, Jesus. Man, she knew her colors. Hey, smart kid, right? She said, Mom raised her well. Amen. And I was looking around, and all of a sudden she said, sneak, Daddy, sneak. And I looked down, and there it was. And being the brave father that I am, I reached down and picked up that caterpillar. I didn't tell her any different. Picked up that caterpillar, and I slung it around my head, and shoo, and I took care of that thing. We walked back to the house. I was hero. Daddy got that sneak, man. He conquered that sneak. God didn't want you to have any sneaks out there in your life. He's going to watch after you. You understand the protection of a father. There are some things in my life you might be able to mess with, but you don't mess with my wife or my kids. I'm saying, I love you, but you come in my house at night. I've got a couple friends up there. One of them's named Smith, and the other's named Wesson. And I got a brother named Ruger as well. You do not mess with my family. Anybody else feel the same way? God put that in there. He put that in our heart for a reason. You know why? Because that's what he says to the enemy. You do not mess with my kids. Amen. They are my kids. Amen. And we walk in that stand this morning. Praise God. Happy Father's Day to you. God is good. Amen. Praise God. Man, if you're a daddy here this morning, you are such a blessed guy. Amen. If you're a future daddy, you're a blessed guy. Just make sure you get married. That would help out a lot. Amen. Not that God doesn't love you, but he does love you. Amen. But you know what? It works out better that way. Praise God. The little bit of security there goes a long way. Amen. Raise your hands this morning. I just want to speak over you today. Father, thank you today for the hearts of these people. Thank you, Lord. You love them so much today. God, we just thank you for your love as sons and daughters. We receive the revelation of God's grace in our life. Lord, we don't have to work so hard because you worked. You did it all, Lord, for us. Amen. And we give you the glory for that today. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that has not received all of that love, all of that unconditional grace in their life and love, I pray right now by the Holy Spirit that you would just touch their hearts, their lives. Lord, may they open up that heart, that orphan heart, and let you in. May healing take place. God, may they speak out and reach out in faith and say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and for raising again from the dead. And Lord, thank you that today I am forgiven throughout all eternity. God, you've forgiven me. I may make mistakes. I may blow it. But I know today, Lord, you love me. Hallelujah. My heart is open and receiving you right now. Thank you for that. Lord, I've been maybe caught up in religion. Maybe I've been caught up in my own self-efforts, God. Lord, of performance. But today, Lord, I don't perform any longer. I receive everything you have for me, God. Lord, you sing over me today. You sing over me today. Hallelujah. You celebrate me today. I'm your son. I'm your favorite son. I'm your favorite daughter today. Hallelujah. God, you love me so much. Favors on my life today. God, because of your favor. Your favor goes everywhere I go. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. I have favor with you and I have favor with men because of God in my life today. I don't stress. I don't struggle. I don't even worry, God, because I know you've got my future. It's bright. Amen. And I thank you for that today. Amen. Would you confess with me this morning? I am a child of God, child of the Most High. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I'm the disciple that Jesus loves. I have a revelation of being a son, of being a daughter. Today, my daddy loves me. Fully loves me. Completely loves me. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Taking every step of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give him some praise. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn to some people this morning and say, you are loved today. Would you do that? Praise the Lord.